Good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip Wednesday, the 24th of February. Pod number 760. How can I not know this? 763. I didn't put a number on yesterday's one, that's why. Okay, let's just tackle some of the aftermath of yesterday. Firstly, thank you to everybody who's messaged me, emailed me, texted me. Genuinely, I've said it many times. You sit here, I've talking to yourself, and you don't know how this goes down. And I'm actually quite shocked at yesterday's response and how many people I've become a daily part of their life. I'm afraid it's not going to make me change my decision. But I must stress, I'm not packing in. I'm still going to do 4 days a week, and I think there'll be four better days. I think some of you can tell that sometimes I'm very rushed doing this. And it is this feeling at the minute that I have to do it. So I sort of, no matter what I do, let's say I wanted to go and play golf on a Sunday morning when things open up, I have to gear it around, or I have to get back and do a pod, or I have to do a pod before I go. So it's just trying to remove that element of having to do it. I still want to do it, and I'm going to want to do the 4 days. And I think I'll make them better. For all of you, I can do more stats stuff. Somebody's asked, will that mean that... in effect, the betting side will be affected. No, it'll give me, because it's going to free up time. That this is all about freeing up time. For example, when I do the Tuesday pod, there won't be a Wednesday, Thursday one, but I will look at the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday football before I do it. So I can do it all in one go. And it's similarly, Friday I'll do the fixed odds, and then Saturday I'll do the trading right through for the weekend. So if there are first half goals or horses or anything, which I'm getting back into now, nothing will be missed, and I will put it on... obviously the Telegram group. So obviously if there was golf on a Sunday, that wouldn't go on the pod, it would go on the Telegram group. But anything else that's general, I will make sure the week's covered. So yes, it certainly is not a goodbye at all. It is just, you know, I think it's a good time for everybody. We've lived through, I mean, they say once in a generation, you know, it was what, 1917-18, the Spanish flu. Irrespective of, I mean, obviously we live in a world of conspiracy theories and naysayers and people who just talk shit, to be honest. But irrespective of all that, we've lived through a historic moment. You know, I think, you know, I was in Vegas, Torrey Pines of San Diego, end of January last year. And this was not even known, you know, it was just breaking in China. What it's done to all our lives, and it is a time to reflect. And that, as I say, my key thing going forward is I don't want to do things I feel I have to do. I want to do things I want to do. And I think all of you should look at that. I know we sort of talked about goals and New Year's resolutions back then, but you know, what do you want to do is so key. So that's basically it. So it's not that I don't want to do the podcast, it's just I don't want to feel I have to do it every day, and people are clinging on the fact, oh, he's dead if he hasn't done one. I think we'll just have a much better structure for everybody. I think I'll be able to share more in a more organised way, despite, you know, I do try and, I know it comes across as an absolute car crash most of the time, but I do try and put some thought into the stuff I'm going to do for you. And try and structure it, and having to feel I have to do it every day, that time, and it gets lost sometimes because I'm just running out of time. So I get on, and that's when I forget things, where I think we'll be better planned. So thank you for the comments. Certainly I'm not going. It'll be 4 days a week. There'll be, you know, decent pods. I think it'll be much better. But thank you ever so much for all the feedback, everybody. I think absolutely fantastic, and it's very warming for me to realize that so many people do listen, and it's a part of their life. It was something that started as a bit of fun, and I think we've done well. I do think it's been good over the years, and it will be better. So that's that. Next, the Tottenham issue. I've got to cover the Tottenham issue. Again, numerous reactions to it, walking away when they're losing. I think those who know me, and I can go back, Simon Dennis may listen to this. Simon Dennis used to enjoy following me on Twitter, and I'm going back 4 or 5 years before we played at Wembley, we were still at White Hart Lane, when I used to sound off about Bentaleb and Mason, sort of Sherwood and Poch period. Again, it's it's nothing to do with walking away because they're losing. I stand here week in, week out telling you Tottenham are garbage. I've watched Tottenham be garbage for 25, 30, 40 years. We've been pretty garbage most of that time. The difference is I wanted to go and it was enjoyable. I wanted to watch something, you know, whether it be Jurgen Klinsmann, Ginola, Lineker, Gascoigne. I've seen fantastic players at Tottenham right up to sort of when Modric and Bale went. Since then, it's been turgid. Yeah, Harry Kane, I fully admire Harry Kane. And, you know, Son's okay to watch 10 games of the season. Harry Kane, you can't fault the guy's work effort, this, that and the other. The rest, I just don't want to get up and watch. They do nothing for me whatsoever. I don't expect us to win the league. Well, obviously, we had a couple of good years when we had a really good squad, played good football, and we were lucky to have that. Just everything fell in place at the right time. But long-term project, it's just garbage and it's nothing to do with. I've not hidden that view from anybody. I've said it all the time. You know, that the worst thing that happened to Tottenham from a footballing point of view was getting to that Champions League final, because they suddenly thought they were brilliant when actually they were pretty turgid then. It just was a miracle night. Kevin Kelly's right. I will have the added benefit of not hearing Suggsy twice a week telling me they're as good as Man United and as good as Chelsea. And they're not. They're a million miles away. They're so far away. And it is simply something of enjoyment. The guys who go with me know I don't shirk spending. So I'll go, I'll have a good few beers. I'll have a good few beers after the game. I'll have something to eat. The travel up there, the ticket, it's probably costing me £150 minimum a game, maybe £200. And if I really go for it, maybe more than that. And I don't feel any value for money for that. It's simple as that. It's nothing to do with the footballing side. I know we're absolute shite. I'm well aware of that. That we're absolute shite, but I didn't mind enjoying the shite back in the 90s, as I say, because I had somebody to watch. But this, I just don't enjoy it. It's as simple as that. And it's that feeling that I have to do it. I feel that I have to get up because Tottenham are playing, and I've got a ticket, and that it obliges me to go. And then it affects other parts of your life because you do think, I must do this, I must do that. Quickly, because I've got to get up to the football. And I do occasionally enjoy the day out, without a shadow of a doubt. But yeah, it's just, that's all it is. It's nothing to do with the current results or whatever. Somebody emailed me yesterday and said that they felt much the same, that their last game was the Champions League final. And ever since then, it sort of has drifted away from what it should be. And I agree. And the phrase they used was, we've become not fans, but customers. And I think that's dead right. I mean, I've taken some people here to the new stadium. I used to know everybody around me. You know, White Hart Lane, I used to have rucks with people, you know, about the football. The guy behind me, I used to row with him all the time. Suggsy will tell you. I used to have stand-up blazing arguments with him because he was a numpty. Now, and no disrespect, but it's just Korean tourists where we are. It's just full of Korean tourists that they ship in the coach load to watch Son play. It's just not for me. It's just that. It's simply that. It's not for me. For the money I'm paying, for the effort involved in it, I just don't enjoy it. It's not for me. It's not what I want. I think football in general, I've become disillusioned with overall. I just, you know, I read that book, as I said, in lockdown one, Can We Have Our Football Back? They don't care about the fans anymore. The players don't care. The clubs don't care. It's all about cash. That's all it's about. All about cash. And Tottenham are going to be Tottenham are a prime example of a so-called big club. We call ourselves a big club, one of the big six. Win nothing. Win absolutely nothing. Two Carling Cups in 30 years. I just think they take the piss out of the fans. And I sort of put up with that when I enjoyed watching the football. I don't enjoy it now. So it's, you know, again, there's people who've emailed in who understand other people, or you're walking out in your teeth. It's just no fun. There's no fun in it at all. I'd much rather just meet up in a pub and have a laugh, and that's what it was. You know, it is I like to enjoy myself, and as you get older, you think, right, what can I do that I enjoy? What can I do that I want to do? What can I do that? What am I doing that I feel is a bit of a chore? And going to Spurs for me is a bit of a chore. I still go to games. You know, it's like the pod. I'm not going to stop forevermore. It will definitely phase off because once I get out of the routine, it will become something that's less in my mind. But I'll still go to the odd game and have a laugh. So that's that bit. What was the other thing? There was something else from it yesterday. The horses piece somebody asked me about. And as I say, I'll put as many tips as possible. No, can't remember. There you go. See, this is what happens when you do one every day. You forget things. I'll come back to it. Right, we had a monumental. I've started putting predominantly their food related things on Twitter over the last year. Favourite sandwich filling, ice cream flavours, crisps. Took a new turn yesterday. We got the boy involved yesterday, my son involved. They introduced me to a whole new world. About once a year, each year, I probably have fish and chips. And I'll probably go to a caff for a fry-up. And the last time I went to a caff for a fry-up, it was four couples, and we were out at dinner on the Saturday night, and we literally just said, shall we meet up for breakfast on Sunday morning? And we all got up and went for breakfast at about 7:30 at Nell's Caff on the A2. They're featured in Killing Eve, that is. There you are. Fantastic caff. So I just happened to say yesterday, I said, oh, when we get to Sam, when we get lockdown open, I said, we'll get the gang and we'll go and have a fried breakfast. Just meet up, have a cup of tea and a fried breakfast. As I was doing that, I was talking to my boy, and he said, all controversial fried breakfast. And he pointed me to a thread where somebody had posted a picture of a fried breakfast. It wasn't on Twitter, it was on some other social media thing. And opened a whole new world of criticism. It's impossible to post a fried breakfast online. I got a bit into this yesterday. It's impossible without getting criticised, because people claim it's different elements. Some want beans. If you put beans on, others say tomato. Some say no ash brown. It was a right minefield as people put onions on it. And with all that, Sam said, I make the perfect fried breakfast. She read out her perfect fried breakfast. Jack and I both disagreed with it. So this became a whole thing yesterday, full-on family debate. And I thought, we're going to have a little prize. Let's have a little prize. I'm going to give you a week because... obviously, you might not have the ingredients, but we've done the Christmas Day meal. Over the next week, anybody who posts a picture with hashtag FTS Breakfast on Twitter, hashtag FTS Breakfast, people who aren't on Twitter, if you use the Telegram group, you can also post them in that chat room there. I know people will get annoyed in the chat room, but tough tits. We'll have a look at that. And I'm going to trade for you over this week, up until next week. I'm going to trade a little bank. And talking of that, Matt Reed, I've got some money for you. Just reminded me. I'll come back to that in a minute. Fucking absolute shit show, innit? So we're going to have a fried breakfast competition. I'm not going to tell you what I think the ingredients should be. I want you to post your picture, full English breakfast, hashtag FTS breakfast, anytime over the next week. So on the Wednesday next week is when I will announce the winner. And let's see. It's an absolute, I promise you, it's an absolute minefield. I mean, Simon Dennis got some stick for posting baked beans and gravy, which, by the way, is just so wrong. It's unbelievable. But the fried breakfast is an absolute minefield. It's incredible how seriously we take it. It was so, I had a load of fun for half hour yesterday looking into all this. So there you go. Hashtag FTS breakfast, full English breakfast. If you start doing poached eggs and things, you're out. I want a full English breakfast. Let's see your efforts, and I will trade some money over the weekend and give it to the winner. I'm going to be the arbiter because Sam ain't got a fucking clue what she's talking about. And talking about the pandemic, seeing these, when you start looking into this, we will have another one with some of the shit people eat. See, I think, you know, they say this started in food and bats and chickens or whatever it was in markets. I mean, putting pies in buns in Wigan is a start, isn't it? Some of the shit that people eat, It's no wonder. That's why you've got to make the most of it. Enjoy life. And I suppose providing that buffoon Boris doesn't make any fuck ups, we've got something to look forward to. I'm going to book a pub in March. People who've already expressed, already got a shortlist for Lingfield. It's becoming a historic event. I've already spoke to Lingfield, so I will have some details of that over the next week, just so you can get dates in diaries and things. It's got stuff to look forward to. It's great, isn't it? But yeah, hashtag FTS breakfast. Matt Reed, I've got some money for you, because I traded for you at Christmas, which I only remembered yesterday when I was thinking of the FTS breakfast, because you won the turkey dinner. So drop me some PayPal or bank details, Matt, and I'll sort that out for you. And at Christmas, when we had our little drunken Zoom, I think I sorted everybody prizes out except for Kerry, who won Vegas, and we can deal with that now. I'm going to go to Vegas. I was going to go in April. I've pushed that back. I'm going to go September. Happy to meet up with anybody who wants to go. I don't know. You've got Cotchells of stuff, because the cricket looks like it's going to be on. So we're going to have the cricket weekend in August. I'll have details of that. I'll work out exactly how many tickets we've got and put people down who want to go on that. I'm going to go whatever. So, I mean, obviously they're going to limit crowds to 10,000 or whatever. I'd hope we'll all get in with the tickets we've got. But if not, I'm going anyway. I'm going to go to Nottingham and hang around and make a nuisance of myself, just because I've booked that day off. But yeah, if anybody's got any prizes that they feel I've awarded that I haven't given, speak up now, let me know. I'm crap at it. I'm dreadful at it. I don't do it on purpose. I just forget. As I say, Matt Reed, see, I'd have remembered. If I hadn't done the FTS breakfast competition, it would have been next Christmas, Matt, when I remembered the Christmas dinner and thought, oh, I didn't pay Matt last year. Can't even remember what your dinner looked like now. It's that long ago. 2 months gone already, eh? See, we're racing through it. We'll be out of this in no time. Old buffoon Boris, sort yourself out. What else have I got? Well, there's other stuff, I know. See, this is what I mean. It's a shit show. Horses. Oh, right. Members of RTS Racing, we're going to change the macros Monday. I'm going to resume my horses from Monday. So, Telegram guys, and as I say, if I can get them on the pod, I will in the mornings. Absolute no problem. Don't panic about it. Do that. There was something else, though. There was something else. We're going to do something for Cheltenham. I'll have that next month. Can't remember. Right, that's it. I'm done it. I'll remember it tomorrow if it comes to me. Beautiful. Beautiful. I know a few of you saying that now, isn't it? Beautiful. Don't forget FTS breakfast. I'm right into this. I want to see some breakfast, because I think this is an absolute bone of contention. You've got to get this spot on, and I'm the sole arbiter. What I say goes. There's people who don't even know what should be on a breakfast. It's a scandal. Right, where are we? Good Friday. I haven't had any. I can't remember the last time, genuinely, I had a full English breakfast. It would have been that time I went out with those guys, which I can't even remember when that was. It was probably 2 years ago. Just can't remember. It's going to be one of the first things I do. Right. Yeah, plug Nell's calf. Where am I going? Football. That's what I want. Football. Oh, I was going to do this. I knew there was something. Flipping, sorry, I nearly forgot the most important part. Right, get off all the nonsense I'm talking about. Right, I've spent a lot of time over the last, probably, well, pretty much most of the season, but the last 3 months, talking to people who've been struggling, is the way to put it. Obviously, they've set systems and you don't tend to hear from the people who win, you tend to hear from the people who are losing. Many, many things we've looked at, a lot of people doing too much, too many bets the same, etc., etc. I think the first thing to say in that is this is going to go down, no matter what way we look at it. And again, it comes back to people misinterpreting. You know, I think a lot of people, if we could rewind the clock back to May and say, I know everything's going to be okay in August 2021, shall I just leave it till then? There's probably been people who think, yeah, I wish I'd done that. There's other people who will have seen the opportunities that, that the current thing permits, but there's absolutely no way that any of us, me, anybody, can say that that what's happened from March 2020 to whenever this, I'm going to say the end of this football season, because I do think we'll be more normal next season, has been unusual, because of course it has. There's been no fans, there's been a stop-start of a last season, there's been a shortened this season, condensing things in, and somehow we try and measure that performance against what's gone on. And I don't want to say make excuses, but look to blame it and say, oh, this, that and the other. The first thing I'll say is exactly what I've said. We'll never be able to pinpoint exactly what it is. I think it's a combination of everything that you see some strange results. I think you've got to factor in that the big teams have been in decline before that COVID started. But then you look at what Liverpool did last season to this season, and it is almost unexplainable. You look at Man City and how well they're going now, you know. So there's lots of things that you can look and say it's different, and there's lots of bits that say, well, actually, that just doesn't make sense, or whatever. And I look at it regularly. It's just something of collecting numbers. And I mean, one FTS member emailed me about stuff and sort of said that from this season he'd look back three seasons, and he could sort of summarise that this season is just way out, completely way out. So I said to him, I don't agree. Didn't say it in that. I said, but just have a look. Let's just go further back. Just actually go further back and see if you can get more historical meaning. And he's come back and said, I have had a look further back and there's been other seasons, and the phrase he used is out of control. And I can't remember which one it was, but certainly 15, 16 it might have been. 2015, 16 or 16, 17. Some strange things happened in that season. So all you can do is decide what you're going to do, set yourself up properly, as I've talked about, and I am still 100%, absolutely 100% convinced that we'll be back to normal, that results won't vary that much come the end. And that it's a period, and that COVID is offering us an opportunity to examine that and perhaps come to some hypothesis we shouldn't, perhaps form conclusions we shouldn't, perhaps forcing people to give up when they shouldn't. So one of the things, particularly in trading, is, and I've tried to put some sheets on the website to help you with this, and I'm going to add another one, is the distribution of goals. And again, to get away from this, you know, we know that first half goals sit about 70%, second half goals sit 79-80%. Is there a goal in that half? Not number of goals, but 100 games played, roughly 69% have a first half goal, roughly 79% have a second half goal, in perfect numbers. But of course, how that percentage gets arrived at, it doesn't go every single week 79%, 79%, 79%, 79%. It goes up and down. And this year it's quite interesting because the numbers aren't a million miles away, but how they're being arrived at is slightly different. And one of my concerns with the no crowd thing, and as we get to the end of this season, is I've said it before, when teams have nothing to play for, without a crowd there, it is quite easy just to down tools and say fuck that. Where a crowd, I mean, I look at Tottenham. If once Tottenham lose that League Cup final and out the Europa League, there's not going to be anything to play for, really. But the fans wouldn't accept the football that's being played now. The ground would either be empty, and Levy would be able to look at it and say, hang on a minute, what the fuck am I doing here? Whether he would or wouldn't, I don't know. Or the ground would be full but toxic. I tend to think that a lot of people are going to take the view of me, and if Tottenham don't back their ideas up, it's going to be like the Emirates was 3-4 years ago, when Wenger's sort of last days, when people were just staying at home. I think that might shake Levy into something. I don't know, but actually, I just don't think they're. He thinks he'll fill the crowd, whatever. And as I say, I leave, somebody else comes in. I don't think people are going to pay 150 quid to watch that brand of football week in, week out. 100, you know, decent ticket at Spurs now, it's 80, 90, 100 pound minimum day out. But how those goals fall Different. So I've now produced a sheet, which I'm going to do weekly. I'll put it on the website once a week, which basically just literally is the percentages of goals. So I've put a couple on Twitter, which sort of people have responded back to me, and I thought, right, well, let's make it a bit formal. And when I say podcast, see, this sheet took me another hour and a half to get ready for you to set up. So I've got every game in the database, and in this database currently, right up to date, there's 29,100 games. Only covers the FDD league, so you know, you can go on FDD and see the leagues they cover. It's all the major European leagues, plus Brazil, MLS, Japan. 29,100 games since 2017. The percentage of games with a first half goal is 69.7. The percentage of games with a second half goal is pretty much bang on 79. Now, obviously, for those percentages to be arrived at, for 69% first half goals, you're going to have some in the high 70s, 78, 79, some periods, and you're going to have periods in the low 60s, which gives you that average. And the same with second half goals, you're going to have weeks, months where there's 80, 85, 88%, and then you're going to have weeks, months when there's 71, 72%, and it hits that average. As a football trader, when those goals are going in and when we're having a bad time, we just tend to think, oh, fucking hell, yeah, don't score for me. And again, we react too quickly, change what we're doing. When you start to look at how these numbers are formed, you actually tend to find, like me, when I had that bad period in 2019, when I'd done my brains, you sort of look at it and thought, actually, goal production at that time wasn't great. And I paid a price for it. And it's interesting now, as I've done it by the week for this year. So I've gone right back to first and done through the week. And if we take the first half goals, the percentage is 69%. There's only one week this year where it's been significantly over that. And that was the second week of the year, 8th to the 14th, 74%. Other than that, it's been 67, 68, 69, 66, 69, 77. So it's sat on percentage or lower. So there will be some weeks to keep that at 69%. There will be some weeks to come, sometime, of 74, 75. Either that or the first half goal percentage is going to drop, which I'm fairly convinced won't happen. Very similarly, second half percentage is even worse. With 79% overall, so the whole database, this year, it's significantly dropping. 79 in the first week of the year, 78 in the second and third weeks of the year, 73 in the fourth week of the year, 75. It did hit 79 again, but then 71. So that percentage, to keep it at 70, obviously must have been 80-odd early season. And this is one of my concerns as you look through when you start looking at figures like this. And it just means, doesn't mean I stop, it just means I'm a bit more cautious what I do. That I think these numbers may well tail still towards the end of the season or stay on the low side. But there'll be a period, and it may be August, September, where they'll shoot back up again. But again, it comes from that. We want everything to run all smooth every week. So I think by producing this sheet, and basically I've produced a table for each week for every month with a number of games that had a goal percentages, and then I've graphed it. So you can actually see the graph. Obviously, at the minute, I haven't gone back and done 2017. I've just started from the first of this year. So I'll keep that on the website once a week. And that graph will obviously, at the minute, with only 5-6 weeks, it's not really doing a lot. You know, little peaks, little dips. But over a period of time, you'll see it move a little bit more as the dates get added and it lengthens out. But it is really interesting because I sort of formed in my head an opinion, particularly with second half goals, that they were flying lower. It's easy just to form that. When you actually start to look at the numbers, you've got a 71 week in there, 73, 75. It is quite significant numbers. It's not small. It's quite significant numbers over a period of time. And as I say, that is only FDD leagues. But I need to speak to Dave and Ryan. I've done these as blog posts, the two things. I think I just need to get a section set up that all those sheets I can just upload to one place, and then I can upload that, the goal time sheet, the 1x2 percentage sheet, and this one. And I just think it'll help. It just helps people rather than this jump to conclusions and say COVID's fucked it, no crowds has fucked it, which is very easy to say. And as I said, we will look at this period and there will be an effect, but we'll probably never be able to pinpoint it. But rather than just doing that, actually getting, I'm a numbers man, get numbers on the play page, you can see what's happening before your eyes. And I can say, oh, I didn't hit many second half goals this last month, but the game in general has fallen off. But without doubt, again, people say, well, that's it. You know, you have to take a view now. Are we going to say these numbers are going to keep coming down and the shape of football's going to change? Or are we going to say, actually, there's going to be a peak period somewhere where it's going to be 80, 85% second half goals for a sustained period, which is going to get that percentage up? I'm very much firmly a believer in the second one. Go back to the start of the season. Remember when the Premiership was averaging over 3 goals a game? Said it couldn't be continued. When the Championship was averaging under 2 goals a game, said it couldn't be continued. It's impossible. Lee Stanley-Land's laughing now because I say impossible all the time. It is, it will come back. These percentages won't vary much. They will be 69, 79 across the wave of the database. How they're made up will vary, and seeing it in a weekly breakdown, you know, you can't react instantly and go, oh, there's no goals, I'm going to stop. But it just, it's more, actually, I can see why something slowed down or I had a good period, because you can see the games are offering goals up or not offering. Hope it's helpful to anybody. Anyway, might just be a load of old shit that I'm doing. Right, more important than that is the breakfast. The breakfast consuming my life. So hashtag FTS breakfast, post it. It could be worth a good few quid to you because I am going to smash the weekend. I'm going to have, we got an international break next month. I'm going to have a few Zooms. I'm going to do an ultimate Zoom. There's a few people else I'm going to catch up with. Everything else is business as normal. Football pretty much every day, of course, at the minute. And as I say, the only change will be there'll be 3 less pods a week. Nothing else is happening, and I will then be more active in the Telegram group. Just literally not had time over this last couple of weeks. Doing all my stuff and sorting Sam out and family issues. That's just been my thing, but I'm going to book her a little flight to Malta this morning. Get her sorted out so she can go in July. We're going to go to Vegas in September, and then she's going to come back from there and she's going to go to Malta at the end of September and stay for probably 2-3 months, and I will pop out myself then and see little one. Right, dreadful news with Tiger Woods, wasn't it? I saw that last night. I thought, oh no, don't. It's like almost a year ago to Kobe Bryant. But does look like he's going to be okay. It's just a matter of, obviously, not sure you'll ever see him on a golf course again competitively. Sounds like a really nasty injury to his foot. I got up and read about it sort of early hours of this morning, the latest update. Rods in his foot and screws. Obviously, 40-odd, going to be very difficult to come back from that. But thankfully, he's okay. You know, it's horrible to see things like that. Anybody, doesn't matter who it is, but obviously a high-profile sportsman, it is news. Right, enjoy your Wednesday, and I will be back with you. And the singing, that was the other thing. Does it mean there's going to be no... Of course there's going to be singing. It'll give me more time for singing. I'll be able to plan the songs better. There's loads of stuff to come. Don't fret. Relax. Just Wednesdays, Thursdays, Sundays, you won't hear from me. I'm sure you'll survive. There's old ones you can listen to. Just pretend it's that day. I don't know what day it is most of the time anyway. I mean, there's less chance of me getting the day right, and if I go Tuesday and then I don't come back till Friday, I've got absolutely no chance. I struggle when every day is consecutive. Right, enjoy yourselves. Have a lovely, lovely little Wednesday. Lights on the horizon, team. And I will be back with you all tomorrow.